Merci, chérie. I welcome you to the French-themed Linguistic podcast. With 5 baguettes in her hand and a beret on her head, chewing on a croissant and riding a bicycle through Montmartre in Paris, France, to the sound of an old accordion, passing numerous cafes where the French drink wine and talk about art, Asia. And away from the pleasures of French life, covered in snow, digging the road from the porch to the supermarket, living on the diet of borscht, котлеты and balish. Forget Moscow, this is Nadezhda Chelny, baby. Florian!
And tea, actually, and drinking tea.
And temporarily being a bad guide and interpreter, Landish. I think that we should start with the news right now. For us, no other country exists in the world apart from France. So we are starting with the news of this country.
It'll be no difference to me.
While others were celebrating the start of 2013, an elderly French woman spent New Year's Eve trapped in a supermarket after being locked inside, officials said. The 73-year-old was stuck inside a supermarket in the northern city of Roubaix, after emerging from the toilet to find the shop closed and the doors locked. She set off the alarm several times throughout the night, but there was no answer. She was only discovered the morning of New Year's Day around 10:30 a.m. Despite her ordeal, the woman didn't take advantage of the situation to snatch some New Year's treats and spend the night without eating or sleeping.
I would definitely
just out of spite, you know, just to revenge.
You don't even need a reason to trash the supermarket, actually.
Actually, I think I would even do that on purpose if I were 73 years old.
especially if you are 73-year-old and have nothing to lose.
Exactly. I mean, what kind of things does the New Year party have in store for you when you're 73? Probably TV, president's speech, and then go to bed at 15 minutes past 12. Yes, here it is. I mean, such an adventure. Yeah, I would probably do that on purpose if I were 73.
A woman who does nothing. I think she's either very old and respectful, or just Alzheimer's.
But again, how do they know that she didn't eat anything?
I don't know. Maybe they counted.
How is that possible to count everything on the supermarket?
Maybe she's just hidden everything.
She just didn't tell them about that, so that they could feel guilty. Just, have you ever been stuck somewhere? I was stuck in a bathroom once in a cafeteria. The funny thing is about that, we were having lunch together with my friend Elena and our mutual friend Nina in a small cafe, and then I just decided to go to the bathroom, and they were having a very hot discussion. They were talking about something, so I left them, and the sad thing is they didn't even notice that I was missing. They were talking, and we were the only people in the whole cafe, so when I found myself stuck in a bathroom, nobody helped me, like, during a couple of hours. They didn't notice that I was missing for the next 2 hours.
What did you do there?
First, I was a bit terrified. Then I started singing. Well, I was knocking on the doors trying to attract the server's attention, but the music was too loud. So I started singing songs. Eventually, someone noticed that the door was closed and they saved me. I was actually a bit upset that my friend didn't notice that I was not with them. You start thinking about life, you know.
The French actor Depardieu.
I always wonder how you pronounce his name in French.
Depardieu.
Depardieu. I like that. Okay, my notions. Depardieu. I have this problem with the R sound. I can't do that.
Depardieu is angered by French President François Hollande's attempt to raise taxes on the mega-rich to 75%. Depardieu said in an open letter published in mid-December that he would turn over his passport and French social security card. Now he has been granted a Russian citizenship by Vladimir Putin himself. His subsequent decision to move to tax-friendly Belgium was slammed by Hollande's government. France's civil code says a person must have another nationality in order to give up French citizenship because it is forbidden to be stateless. Thursday's decision by the Kremlin appears to fulfill that requirement. I was reading the article in The Guardian, and it said, just listen, few foreigners seek Russian citizenship, and even fewer are granted it, with the tide generally going in the opposite direction. Brigitte Bardot. Brigitte Bardot. threatens to quit runs for Russia as well in protest, not at tax hikes, but at treatment of two circus elephants. She's a huge animal activist, yes, as it turned out.
Is that true that they're raising taxes up to 75%?
Yeah,
that's definitely true.
I think it's not only Depardieu. There are lots of mega rich who are leaving France for Belgium, mostly.
Lots. It's a bit of an exaggeration.
But how do they explain that? What kind of explanation do they provide for this kind of law? This is definitely some kind of discrimination of mega rich people.
I was talking to a lot of people here in Russia, for example. We have the same taxes for everyone. Yes, 30%. Mm-hmm. And some people find it not very fair if someone's salary is, for example, 10,000 rubles, mm-hmm, and he has to pay the same 13% as, for example, the one who gets millions and millions of rubles. Yeah. So some people find it unfair. As far as I know, in the United States, they have the same division of taxes, different taxation for poor people. And...
Yes. In France, they go up a few levels. It's progressive, mm-hmm, but it's not continuously progressive. It's you reach a level and then you pay that amount. It's just basically one more level for those who are, mm-hmm, over a certain amount, mm-hmm, for 75% taxing. You have to know that some less rich people are taxed almost 50%. That's a very socialist thing to do, and the new president is socialist, so he and his government think that raising those taxes is one of the best ways to fill in the gaps and get the money they need, because they are decided to reduce their debt.
Don't you think that this kind of law will encourage corruption? Well, at least in Russia, if there was such kind of thing. Even now, rich people and companies do a lot of corruption. They do not openly work. Their profit is not taxed.
Personally, I'm not sure it's going to encourage this, because it's already happening on a massive scale. Here, this is taxes for individual people, but fiscal evasion for companies is something extremely widespread. If I had to give my personal opinion on the subject, I would think that trying to avoid fiscal evasion is much more important than raising the taxes to 75% on single people. This is where the effort should go, definitely. But I don't think this is going to change a lot, because a lot of celebrities already have those kind of investments, shadow companies, fiscal paradises, and so on. Is it really going to change a lot? I guess if you are an honest French actor who puts all of his money in French banks, and suddenly this happens, you have some kind of a right to be disheartened, because by being the serious and honest one, you're going to get taxed a lot. Just have to get to that system. So I agree with you, it's probably going to encourage it, but how many celebrities today are honest about their money? I don't think there are a lot of them.
Are you pro Hollande or against him?
I think I voted against him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not very socialist in many aspects, and for a person of the left, he's quite a good right-wing politician. It's difficult to read into this man. Some of these decisions don't make too much sense, so I guess I will have an opinion later.
Yeah, I like Sarkozy.
His wife, Carla Bruni.
The French just had to vote for him only because of his wife. Yes. He had to be a president for multiple times till his death.
But she's Italian,
she's
isn't she?
Woman. Yeah, should she's we, of Italian descent.
Should we campaign to get a better wife for...
for Hollande?
Monica
Bellucci, yeah, she's great. She's also Italian descent.
Yes, isn't she married?
Well, she has to get a divorce then. Well, if people want her to become the president's wife, then.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm just a French guy living, mm-hmm, in Paris right now, mm-hmm, like in the suburbs of Paris, not even the real thing. I'm not anywhere close to the Eiffel Tower, but I can get there in around 30 minutes. It's fine. I came here to visit your hometown. I already came once to St. Petersburg, which was very different than here. I do enjoy the Russian culture.
Mm-hmm. What do you do in Paris?
I'm an engineer. I started my own little company. It's been a year now.
Mm-hmm. But you don't come from Paris?
No, I come from the south of France, Provence. Mm-hmm. I come from Toulon, which is, for those who may know, like 75-80 kilometers from Marseille, which is a big city that many people know, even outside France. So I come from the south. I was raised in Toulon and studied in Marseille and came to Paris for finishing studies. And after, I went to Japan for 1 year. I found a job in Paris, so that's what I do.
Actually, Florian has a Russian origin. It's a very interesting story.
Different
actually.
Origins, because on my father's side, it's quite easy to get. It's mostly France, even though there was some raising in Argentina and some mixing a bit there, but mostly it's French. And my mother's side is a bit more complicated. She's born from a Russian father and an Italian mother. The mother herself is of Spanish descent, and the father was Russian. His family fled the October Revolution when the communists were taking the power. And since his father was in the intelligentsia somewhere in Ukraine, was it in Odessa?
Odessa.
They fled the country to Tunisia. I don't know why Tunisia. They arrived there and they had my grandfather. So my grandfather met my grandmother in Tunisia, and then my mother was born in Tunisia and moved to France at a later date. So yeah, I have Russian origins. And actually, so I have been told by my mother and my grandfather that I am of direct descent from the mathematician Lobachevsky.
Do you have any bonds, any connection with Russia since you are of a Russian origin?
Well, I do not feel it in my flesh, but I always enjoyed everything Russian. I remember since the early age, I loved the Cyrillic writing alphabet. It was very interesting to me, and I always swore to myself that one day I would learn Russian.
Can you write? Can you read Cyrillics?
Yeah, definitely. Read and write Cyrillics, I can. It's Russian, which is more complicated.
The speaking part is more complicated.
I do enjoy the culture of this country, and Landish made me discover a lot. I went through a very romantic phase at some point, like I suppose every French man does. I discovered Russian poetry. It has sticked with me since. So it's a really interesting country, yes.
How do you find Nabrezhny Chelny?
Well, it's rather nice, actually. I enjoy the place, the Tatar and the customs.
So do you see any difference between the Russian cities, I mean, Moscow, Petersburg and...
I haven't been to Moscow yet. I have been to St. Petersburg. I definitely see a difference. One of the big disadvantages of Chelny is that people and things are simpler and less refined than St. Petersburg. And one of the big advantages of Chelny is that people and things are simpler and less refined.
I see. Right.
There's not as much access to culture. I could see that definitely from my time here. There's some kind of uniformity of life, desires, work. Houses. It almost breathes in some kind of a closed circuit, because if you do not work in Chelny, live in Chelny, are raised and work at Kamaz, then the best you can get is having some family from Tatarstan. I mean, it's the furthest you're going to get from Chelny if you were here in, I would say, most normal conditions. And that changes a lot from St. Petersburg, which is quite multicultural, I guess. A lot of people come and go there. Mm-hmm. And you can see it in your interactions with the people, the way they talk, the way they behave. So that's really interesting.
I have a friend, he's from the United States. Maybe about 5 years ago, he first visited Russia. But because he volunteered to participate in some kind of a charity program, he went straight to Tatarstan. He didn't even stay a single day in Moscow. So he went straight to Tatarstan. And surprisingly, he fell so much in love with Russia and with Tatarstan that the next year he came back, and then he decided to stay in Tatarstan, which is very surprising because usually people are trying their best to leave Russia and go somewhere like the United States. But he, the complete opposite, he came to live in Russia. Now he can speak Russian like a real Tatar guy. So his name is Chris. When I was asking him how his life changed and whether he found much difference between Russian cities, he said that he doesn't really like Moscow much. He likes St. Petersburg, but he says it's so much different. Mm-hmm. The life and the people in such big cities and the life in Tatarstan and in provincial places, he says it's more Russian, it's more real. It's not what you imagine.
Not knowing Moscow, just knowing it by what I've heard or read, I know I'm probably going to hate that city because it's definitely not the place for me. But I can see how he immediately liked the place here in Tatarstan because everything is so real. I've been to the village from the family of Landish's father. Everything is true to the Russian heart, and you can feel everything you've seen in the old Soviet movies. You can see the people.
Yeah.
It's so real, and I really like it. It's because you do not have to have 15 layers of irony or understanding between the motives of people. You just live a life, and that's very, very appealing to someone who's open, I guess.
To me about the talent of Russian people.
Russian people in general are much more talented than we are. Like I was saying, you take anybody on the street and ask them to sing something, and they probably are going to sing a nice song with a good pitch, a good voice, and it will move your heart. You take anyone in a French street, people who know how to sing are very proud of it, and you hear them everywhere. And you cannot have those people who know how to do something but do not care and do not tell about it. And I think Russians are a bit like that. I've seen Russian people, and maybe Slavic people in general, have some hidden talented. Where does this come from? Why doesn't the entire world know about it? And this is a bit like I see your art, actually, Landish. It's great. And where does it come from? I think if every Russian made something out of his or her talent, this would be the most prosperous country in the world.
But somehow they don't really want to do that.
They don't care.
They don't care.
They are not encouraged, probably.
I want to talk about the village experience, because I brought him to my village. It's all covered in snow, so it's
very romantic.
There is a very slight difference between the sky and the snow itself. Sometimes it's like a fairy tale, very beautiful. If you go outside, you go to the forest. There were people who were so astonished by the fact that a Frenchman came to visit them. He went to Banya.
That's where I would cast some doubt about your use of the term romantic.
How did you like our Banya?
He got to know my uncle, whose name is Alim, but he introduced himself as Alex, and he was always making up some words.
Putting some German and some basic
English. What did he
English.
Say? He said, Tatarish fantastisch.
Tatarish fantastisch. Russisch fantastisch.
Russisch fantastisch.
And so he was always talking about something incredible, but it's so incredible, and you're in Russia, so you know it's true. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a hidden machine gun somewhere.
Yes.
Like, he worked with the French.
Yes.
It was a really interesting character. Very, very.
I like that. I like when foreigners come to this middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. and the local people are so astonished to see a foreigner. They start talking so much, just like little children when they see a new person. And they start talking and they start telling everything they know and everything they don't know.
There was a bit of showing off. There was a lot showing.
It's funny. It's just like
it
little
was
children.
Awesome. And I really thoroughly enjoyed it. There were not many men actually in the house. There were only me, Alim, and your father. I was expecting maybe if there were to be any more men in the house, I would have been forced to drink, mm-hmm. to end rolling on the floor and in the snow. I don't know, but this didn't happen.
We watched this film, The Peculiarities of National Hunting, and we found that the film is true. We found a lot of links, connections with this film during his visit.
He went to the banya in the movie. He almost died by the end of it. Not died, but almost fainted. And he was a Finn, which means that they have the sauna. They invented the sauna. Mm-hmm. I did not invent the sauna. So banya was interesting at first, maybe for the first half hour. First, it was great. I mean, a new sensation. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the fact that it was so wet that you felt like every breath was like drinking tea.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed that. But at some point, it was so hot.
Just you started wondering, like, when am I going to go out?
Yes.
When does it end?
When does it end? And I think there's some point where it becomes an exercise in resistance and stubbornness. Maybe that's very Russian in some manner. At some point, I wondered, did they pour some vodka in the fire? What happens? My head is spinning.
Did you feel as if you were born when you survived, when you realized?
There's some part of it, yeah. You feel like you left a part of you behind.
We have this girls' podcast. podcast, I wanted to ask about men and women relationships, so in the family, because for you, I think it was quite unusual.
Yes,
to see
it
that...
was unusual.
All right.
It was quite unusual, not completely, because we have that kind of discussions in France, especially over Islamic families. But the role of men and women in, well, I don't know if it's all Tatar families, you say.
It's not exclusively Tatar
families.
Is it
Russian?
It's just Russian thing.
Like here, the woman does everything, but mm-hmm. like really everything, and the men just eat, drink, and, well, go to banyans. At some point, he will whip out an instrument just to play on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just act like a man. The woman does the rest. Mm-hmm. I'm used to a more modern ways of sharing the time and sharing activities in the house.
What is the division of domestic labor in France?
It depends. There are still some very traditional families where this is the case, the same as here, even though the man will generally spend more time outside doing something else than watching TV, I guess. Mm-hmm. But there are still some families like that. But since the Libération de la Femme, the freedom of the woman, mm-hmm. there was a movement and feminist movement and some protests, and it worked really great. There are some families which are perfectly 50-50. It depends on who works and who brings the money, of course. But if it is like similar between the man and the woman, if they both have the same time on their hands, then they will separate and someone does the dishes while the other cleans the house and reverse. People are used to it now, and mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing. I would understand the woman attending completely to the house and the children if the man was doing a very harsh work and coming back very late just to bring a little money for his family to survive. I would understand that. Then the house needs to be clean and ready. That's how it has happened since the dawn of time. But for a man who does not much of his day, especially during the holiday, there's no reason for him to sit mm-hmm. back and relax while the woman is doing everything.
Why come back to France? You will be an ideal husband. I like your attitude. I really do.
I was offering Landish a feminist movement.
Oh, yes.
Chelny,
yes.
I think it would be a great idea.
Yeah, we have
you need to
we
liberate
to.
Women here.
This idea is actually quite tempting.
I think we won't have enough followers. The first attempt will fail, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So let us be the second attempt.
Yes, but if everyone's thinking the same thing, then I was wondering, is there at least some recognition that there are some inequalities between men and women? Are there people talking about it?
I was asking this question my students in Moscow, especially male students. As far as I remember, most of them don't mind to do domestic labor, to share these household chores with their wives, only if their wives earn more or at least the same as they do. If their salary is less than theirs, Russian men truly believe that they deserve to relax at home and not participate in any kind of activities.
What would you tell those men?
It's very difficult to convince someone mm-hmm. like that. Maybe you're going to look at me with strange eyes, but I do it because I like it. I mm-hmm. like cleaning the dishes. Actually, I hate cleaning the house, but doing the dishes is really, really fine. I can relax. Well, it's normal. I mean, you eat something, you clean after.
I think that is the way that you have been brought up, because
yes.
I saw in your families that your father cooks and cleans. He does the same work as your mother.
Yes, and it has changed over time, but never in the wrong way. I mean, when we were younger and my dad was working, he was a teacher, my mom would do most of the cooking just because my father didn't have time to cook. Since he went into retirement, he enjoys a lot spending some time to cook. And then my mother just throws him out of the kitchen to make some particular dishes that she mm-hmm. likes to make. And it works really well. I don't know how to bring that into the heart of people.
Some kind of stereotype.
Yes.
Balalaika, polar bear, and vodka.
Yeah.
That would be the image for the less cultured ones. Balalaika, yes. We even have one at home. Bears, probably, yeah, or some wolves or something. But I think the general population knows a bit more about the country while still having some very clear opinions of it. And with the internet, it has changed a bit. Like, for people, Russians are drunk, they are crazy, all their cars cars have video recorders in them. When they are not fixing their shoes with straw, they probably are running around naked in the snow.
Just true, after Banya.
Yes, and a Russian woman made good on order, right?
It has some sense in it.
It does.
The
actually.
Car recorders thing is recent, but it's because of YouTube and, oh, those crazy Russians, and mm-hmm. everyone knows about those crazy accidents or mm-hmm. Russians pointing guns at each other from the window. Everyone knows about it.
And if Russian tourists are in France, are French people friendly?
There's absolutely no negative feelings towards Russian people. Mm-hmm. And when they're in a couple and when they are not too rich, mm-hmm. they are great. They are super sympathetic. They just ask you to take a picture of them. It's wonderful. And you can talk with them, give them direction. It's great. But very rich couples or large groups of Russians can be a bit overwhelming as yeah. tourists in your own country. So we tend to just avoid them. But there is no stereotype of the Russian tourist, and we are quite friendly with them. There is no remnants of communism, Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. That's nothing like mm-hmm. that.
And I remember when I was at college, I think, someone told me that French people do not like talking in English. Even though they do speak English, they prefer mm-hmm. to speak French if you are visiting France as a tourist. Is that true?
I think that it's a very old stereotype.
Yes,
mostly made
Maybe I think it was true at some point, mm-hmm. but now the truth is that French people do not speak English. When people do know how to speak English and prefer French just for spite, I guess it happens in some cafes mm-hmm. in Paris because servers have some reputation for being assholes there. But that's not true of the general population. And I think the average French knows as much English as the average Russian does, which is not much. I'm sorry. I'm talking to all the students. You are doing a good job.
I know that. How do you pronounce his name in French? Florian?
Florian.
Okay. You have helped us a lot with our project. You are actually the creator of Linguisto.ru, and you are still doing a lot of job. What would you recommend or say to our potential students and maybe our listeners? Some kind of a word from France, maybe?
I'm a bit different because I learned English not through Skype, but through movies and video games. But it was still to me on the screen talking to me, and there you can have less. I think I wouldn't have helped, actually, if I thought that it was not a good thing. It's great. I do think it's a great way to teach English. It takes, I guess, for teachers a lot of time because you still have to prepare exercises, textbooks, and so on. But for the students, it's efficient. You can do it in your spare time. I do endorse Linguistov.ru.
Thank you.
I can tell everyone listening that Linguistov.ru is almost at the 10,000 visits level. It means that people are interested in it. If more Russian people spoke English, then it would make things a bit easier for me. So please listen to those podcasts and please take lessons.
Thank you.
Thank you. The point of the whole competition is to end the story. We wrote first few sentences of the story, which seems to sound like a detective story.
You can make it romantic story
whatever you want. Maybe you want some aliens there. Maybe you want some ghosts or vampires there. It doesn't matter.
Very easy. Just
or Prince Charming.
Just after the few lines of introduction, you end with, it was just a dream. And you switch to consist.
Yes, exactly. But we have very useful prizes. All the information you can find on our website in the news section and in the blog section, also on our contact you page, vk.com/linguisto. We encourage all of you to participate. It's just a contest for all people who love English, who think that they can create with the language. We do not judge your mistakes. The whole point of the competition is the interesting plot. Surprise us.
By the way, you can still join our group in contact you, which is vk.com/linguisto, or just go ahead and visit our website, which is www.linguisto.ru, and stay tuned.
Thank you, Florian.
Merci beaucoup.
Goodbye.
Bye.